As we come this morning to Romans 12, 1 and 2, we are coming to look at a transformed life, folks. I hope everyone here this morning has had an experience with their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's times that we haven't, and we've been in church maybe for quite a while. And we've been in church maybe all of our lives, and we've never had that experience. We've never fully accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But folks, when we do, when we make that decision to accept Jesus, it does something to your heart. And when you meet Christ, just as Paul met Christ, he knew who he was. He didn't have to ask the second time, who is this? He knew this is Jesus. He knew that he had met the Christ. And so when you meet Christ, you will know in your heart that you have met your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have a desire in your heart to be different. It's a transformed life that you're fixing to experience. You're going to have a different mindset. Your mind's not going to think the same. You're not going to react the same to things that once has been a thing that you responded to in certain ways. If you knew me some 30 years ago, you'd see that my life has been transformed. I'm a different person when it comes to the Lord. I'm not a different person. You see the same one that you've been looking at for 70 years. But I'm a different person in my heart. I have a lot more, I don't guess it's patience. I just have learned to be a better slow daddy. I put it that way. That's what most of them call me. But that's what I've learned. I've learned how to slow down and be a slow daddy. And it's wonderful, folks. It's wonderful. Paul was telling us, and he says, not only is he telling you, not only is he asking you, he says in this scripture we're fixing to read, I plead with you. I'm pleading with you to listen to this scripture. I'm pleading to you, folks, as he writes this letter to the Roman church. I'm pleading with you to do the things that I'm asking. It says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, and it says, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior of customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we hear the reading of God's word and we know that Paul is saying to the people, look, folks, I'm pleading with you. I could just say, because of the authority that I have in Christ, the apostle that I am, I'm commanding you to do this. But he said, I'm not going to command you to do anything. I'm not going to force you into anything. But I am trying to tell you that if you come to know your Lord and Savior, and if you come to accept Jesus Christ, you will be a different person. I'm pleading with you that you understand this. I'm asking you to accept it and to move forward with a transformed body and a new mind is basically what you're getting. Folks, if you haven't ever changed the way that you do things in the last 70 years, if you're 70-year-old like I am, then probably we haven't had the acceptance of Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Now, you might have been, as one fella told me, I can never remember, Mike. He said, I can never remember a day that I haven't lived for Jesus. So I don't remember an experience, but I live for Jesus every day. That's wonderful. That's the only man I ever had tell me that. But that's okay. If that's his deal and he felt comfortable with it, I cannot argue that at all. But I personally think we are born sinners. I personally believe that God has a hold of us. I mean that the devil has a hold of us. And it takes God reaching down and touching you in a very special way that transforms you into the person that he wants you to be. I think that if everybody knew at 7-year-old, 8-year-old, 10-year-old, if everybody knew how wonderful it is to be a follower of Christ, how wonderful it is to just slow down and enjoy life, that we would all be followers of Christ. But we can't. Our minds won't let us. We're running in 700 different directions. And folks, if only one person here knows this, Tammy, but she'll could tell you, my mind used to run in so many different directions all day long. I couldn't focus on anything and be good at it. I couldn't do it. It was a terrible way that I lived my life. And yet I thought that I was doing pretty good. I didn't have sense enough to know that I was completely in the ditch when I could get up on the road. I didn't know that. I just thought that, as Bruce did when he moved down here, he thought an inch of snow is an inch of snow, but he learned real quick it's got some ice in it down here. Up in Chicago, it don't have ice. And so that's what we have to learn, folks. There's some difference in some things. And we have to learn that when we completely change our life, that our behavior change. Our behavior changes. You know, I guess the one thing that lays on my heart and on my mind as much or more than anything is when I changed my life and I started 100% trying my very best to live for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one thing that changed was the self-control that I had, because I had no self-control. I'd done some things that was very dangerous, some things that was very ungodly. I treated people in a way that wasn't good. I had no self-control. And that's the one thing that hits me every day is the way, and I think back about the way that I might have treated these people. And it wasn't good. And maybe I've never apologized to you for the way that I maybe treated you. But if I haven't, I want you to hear that today I would not have done that. But it's hard when you do not have Christ directing your path. Paul knew this, and he continued to talk about it changing the way that you think, the way that you treat people, the way that you do everything in your whole life. You say, well, Mike, I don't know that I think any different than I did. I guarantee you, you do. If you have had, if you've accepted Christ and he's moved into your heart, you think a whole lot different than you did. And you think about things a lot different than you ever did. Your money. How do you think about your money when you think about Christ? Now versus when you were back in the world. Back in the world, we used to think I couldn't get enough money. There's no way in the world I'll ever get enough money. I want all the money I can get, and I had no money. I just think about it. Today, it doesn't bother me within the least. It's something that I think very little of. Very little of. Because I don't care. As long as Tammy will keep me in a shotgun shell and a little gas in that old scooter, I'm good to go. That's all that matters. And, you know, I enjoy life so much more than I did. Paul knew this. Folks, he knew that we were going to be fighting against the enemy. He knew it. And every day in your life, you're fighting against this enemy. And so we have this enemy of not only our money, but we have this enemy of our job. We have this enemy of everything that we're doing, whether we're in school or whether we're retired. We have this enemy, if we're retired, of this is my time. And here you are asking me to give up my time for you. I don't have time to be giving up my time for you. I want to do what I want to do. Well, another old man told me one day, he said, Mike, get the Bible. I said, all right, what are we doing? He said, I want you to look up in this Bible. And he said, I want you to tell me where it talks about being retired. I had asked him, I said, when are you going to retire? He said, well, when you tell me what it says in that Bible about it, I'll be glad to retire. He don't talk about it. I said, that's exactly right. It doesn't. So we spend our time when we retire, when we want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it. And it's not about anybody else. It's about ourselves. Folks, that's not living for Christ. What did Christ do every day? He got up every day and he might walk 10, he might walk 20 miles just to do the will of the Lord. He didn't complain. He didn't have no good shoes on like I'm wearing. He had sandals. And I'll tell you right now, if they had a thing between my toes, I'd have to cut it out because I couldn't stand that, you know, because that would drive me crazy. So we had things that he didn't have. Yet he never complained. He never complained to the Father about, Father, I don't need to be walking and traveling all over this place. I need to just kind of kick back. And I'm sure he did on occasion because he was human just like he was God. He had to rest. And he talks about that being the seventh day. He rested. So we know that he had to rest, but we also know that he put everybody that he came in contact with before himself. Everybody went before himself. So Paul was talking about, as he wrote in 2 Timothy, he's writing this letter. This is the last letter he's writing. This is the last thing he's saying. He's saying, you know, hey, I know I'm about done here. I'm in prison, and they're probably going to chop my head off, and I know this is probably going to be the last thing I can tell you. So, Timothy, listen to what I'm telling you. Listen, Timothy, this is what you're going to be encountering. Folks, this is exactly what we're encountering today. It's what Paul was sitting there in that prison cell and he wrote that day. And just listen to what he says in 2 Timothy, the third chapter. He said, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last day there will be very difficult times. Anybody seeing any times it's not difficult right now? Everybody's seeing difficult times in a certain kind of way. For people will love only themselves and their money. You see that any today? Anybody ever see that today? I think it's all around us. They will be boastful and proud. Oh, mercy. Surely not. I don't see nobody boastful and proud. Scoffing at God? I know we don't see that, do we? I'm telling you, folks, he knew exactly what was coming. Disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. My gosh, folks, these kids today, they're not grateful for anything. And they're so disobedient to the parents. I had one lady this week. She had four boys and a girl. Totally out of control. They busted the walls. They knocked holes all in the walls. They done everything. I went out there. I told her, I said, I'd take that tobacco stick. And the first thing I'd do would be get the oldest one's attention. I would whip him till he couldn't stand up. Now, that's what I'd do. I'm not telling y'all to do it. I'm just telling you, folks, think about how it used to be years ago, and you think about how it is now. The kids tell us now what to do. They've tore up a good home. They can't even live in it. They got to move out. Why? Why would you let your kids do that? This is where he's talking about. They're disobedient to the parents. They're ungrateful. They don't care if they got a place to live or not. They know mom and daddy's going to do something about it. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. Now, I know that's correct because I've lived a life to where I had very little self-control. And when you don't have self-control, you're not living a life in Christ. I can't help that, but that's just the way it is. So they're going to have no self-control. They're doing everything, folks. It's not just one thing. They're doing everything. So he says they will be cruel and hate what is good. We know that's correct right now. If it's good or if it's something that goes along to help everybody else, no one likes it. They want it their way. They will betray their friends. They will be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. We all do, don't we? To some degree, we all do. We all love pleasure more than we do our Lord. You can say, well, I don't. Well, sure you do. I do. There's some things about pleasure that I like as much or more than I do the Lord. Maybe it's because I've laid my eyes on that, and I haven't laid my eyes on the Lord. But it shouldn't be that way. It should be that we know that Jesus Christ came and he died for our sin. He covered our sin debt. It should be that we love him more than anything that can come to be in this whole world. Amen. But we don't, because the devil is pulling our string. They will act religious. I know we don't see nobody acting religious. For they will reject the power that could make them godly. And he says, stay away from them people. Well, who would we talk to? I can almost find these people in everybody that I deal with. So who would we talk to? You see, folks, we ourselves are living in a world. It's broken. It's torn all to pieces. And are we living a godly life? That people are seeing Jesus in everything we do? Are they seeing the way that we live our life and saying, I want to live my life like Mike? I don't think they probably are. Because they look at Mike and they say, Mike's broke too. Yeah, he is. But my sins have been covered because I have accepted Jesus. And I know that I'm broke. So many people will not own up to being broke. Some people will not come on their knees to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and say, forgive me, Lord, for I know I'm broke in this area right here. I know I am. I talk to a lot of people over the week, a lot of different kinds of people. And I talked to a guy that was telling me this week, he was older gentleman. And he was telling me this week, he's probably older than anybody in here today. He said, it was only after the Lord took me, tied me in a knot, and broke me that I realized he had control of my life, not me. He said, he broke me. And he did. He broke me, folks. He broke me down to the point that I knew that I had to give my life to him. Because I couldn't live the life I was living anymore. I'll never forget telling him, Lord, I can't stand this no more. I cannot take this anymore. You've got to take this burden from me. Because I wanted to do it Mike's way, and he wanted me to do it his way. It don't work. He will break you. He will break you just like you break a little young horse. Some of these little young colts we get, they give in to it a lot quicker than others. And they'll give in to being rode and teaching them and the things. And puppies are the same way and any kind of animal. But then there's those that will not give in to it. They will not allow themselves to be bridled and guided and directed. And when it's like that, you have to break them. You have to break them. Folks, we are no different than the wild animals. We don't want anybody controlling us. We don't want anybody here on this earth controlling us, telling us anything that will help us, much less the Lord above, much less him. So, folks, I want us to stop and think a minute. I want you to think about this. I don't even know what time it is. It don't matter. But I want you to think about this. We are coming into a season that God sent His Son that we could have a better life. That we could have a better life. We're coming into a Thanksgiving season. One of my most favorite things in the whole year is Thanksgiving. Where we can give thanks and we can give praise to the Father. And we give this praise to Him for His Son, Jesus Christ. And for the things that He allows us to have, the food that we eat, the harvest that comes about each and every year. Do we thank Him? We don't even stop and take time to have prayer most of the time as we sit down at the big Thanksgiving feast. We don't take time to even include Him in our day. Folks, I'm praying today, as Paul said, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of what He has done for you. You know, when Jesus came, He knew, even as a young child, He knew He came to serve the Father. And it wasn't Joseph. Even though He learned things from Joseph, even though He had the opportunity to be with him each day, He knew that He came for one reason, and that was to serve the Heavenly Father. You came to this earth. What reason did you come for? What did you come to enjoy everything that's here for us to enjoy today? What did you come for? Do you ever ask yourself, what am I here for? I hope we do. Because you're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose. And it's not yourself. And it's not your husband. And it's not your kids. You're here to serve one person, our Lord and Savior. And if we do, our kids, our husband, our parents, everything will line up right behind that. But the number one thing should be Him. It should be God. I just want us to think about it as we come for this Thanksgiving season that we're fixing to come upon, folks. It's a glorious time to be an American. It's a glorious time to live in the land that we live in. Thank God for it. Thank God for His Son Jesus that covered your sins because you live in this bountiful land. That's the reason two-thirds of the reason you have sins. It's because we have so much. It's just pouring out on us everywhere. And if it's not like that, we're not happy. If the car don't start, we're not happy. We got to buy a battery today. Thank the Lord that you can buy a battery today. I mean, you know, it's just so many things, folks, that we do not live into. If you live a transformed life, if you live a life for Christ, people will see a difference in you. You know, I've told y'all, I guess, several times, but I'll tell you again. One night I was sitting there at the house, and I wasn't a preacher at that time. So, I mean, you know, and this lady calls me and said, Mike, she's in a panic. I said, yeah, what's going on? She said, the preacher's down here at the bar drinking beer and smoking cigars. We need to probably do something about that. What are you doing at the bar? I mean, if you wasn't at the bar, how would you know the preacher was at the bar drinking beer and smoking cigars? You know what I'm saying? Well, it's pretty easy for us to find fault with everybody around us. But you got to stop and ask yourself, you know, what am I doing down here? I don't think I'd have called anybody. I think I'd have just said, maybe, preacher, you don't need to be here, and I don't either. Let's go. And not together. Let's go home. But, folks, it's not only the world. It's the church. It's the preacher. They're all broke because we are humans. And because we have accepted Jesus, our sin debt has been paid. But we need to live a life that reflects Christ each and every day. I want you to think about it. Live that life. Let your light shine. Enjoy what He has given you, but give Him thanks for it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.